We did have a great time at the men's conference. We found out that I don't know how to run technology. Praise the Lord. They were recording the sessions. I was supposed to record mine. I went to hit the button and stuck it in my pocket. It didn't record. And so I can preach it again if you got time. it is what it is. Praise the Lord. So this is why they don't even let me touch the stuff at our church. Got with Brother Anthony. And he came up there just to make sure I did it right, and I still did it wrong. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119. Man, aren't you glad to be in church? Amen. Is anybody too warm? I got the air on. Hey, she's finally warm. Praise the Lord. That's your daughter. She's always contrary. Amen. We got an air on. It'll get cool down here in just a moment. Got a message for you tonight. I won't be a help to you, but sometimes in dealing with truth, we've got to cover some hard matters. And just like a parent dealing with a child, sometimes there's some hard truths in life that we've got to deal with. And as a pastor, there's going to be some hard truths that are going to be dealt with here from the pulpit. It's not because I'm mad at anybody. It's because there's truth that needs to be dealt with. And so we're going to deal with some truth tonight, and I want to help you with that. And so let's make sure that we come with the right spirit, the right motive, the right attitude, and we come with a ready mind and a ready heart, willing to accept the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. So if we believe the Bible, then we're going to follow the Word of God. Amen. God's called us to be obedient to the Word of God, so we're going to look at what the Bible has to say. I'm not going to give you my opinions. I'm going to give you the Word of God. And so we're going to look at the Bible tonight, and you do with it what you will. Psalms 119, look at verse number 97. All throughout Psalms 119, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. Don't worry, we're not going to read it tonight. You can get caught up on your Bible reading later. 176 verses. We're in verse number 97. There are several verses that we will go to. Go ahead. Let us have it. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Here the psalmist agrees with the same thing we said. We love the Bible. We're going to listen to the Bible. He says it's my meditation. It's what I think about. It's what I dwell on. Look at verse number 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Why? That I might keep thy word. Because I love the Bible, I have stopped doing certain things. Why? Because I love the Word of God. I want to keep the Word of God. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgment. I've not left what you've told me to do. Why? Because you have taught me. For thou hast taught me. Our teaching comes from the Word of God. It comes directly from God himself. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Our men's conference was about men who understand the times, and they gave a very simple definition of understanding. Understanding is simply this, it's putting it all together. Putting it all together. Just like a puzzle out in front of you. What do? You put it all together. And so in your life, there's going to be times where you got to have the understanding. So that means you're going to have to put it all together. And notice what he says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Or through the Word of God, I can put it all together. Okay? Through the Word of God, I can put it all together. Therefore, I hate every false way. He starts out and he says, I love the law. I love the Word of God. And because I love the Word of God, at the end of verse 104, he says, I hate every false way. If you skip down to verse number 128, we'll get back to here in just a moment. He says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts, being the Word of God, concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Tonight I want to preach to you a message entitled, I Love, Therefore I Hate. I love, therefore I hate. Or you can say it's a love-hate relationship. We speak those terms sometimes, amen? Because we love something, it's going to cause us to hate something else. Let's pray and we'll get in the message. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we're going to deal with a topic that sometimes can be very heavy, a truth that sometimes can hit right at home. Lord, we need it. We need the bluntness of the Word of God. Your Word, the Bible says, is a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And sometimes we need to be cut to the heart to allow that conviction to settle in, to allow the Word of God to change us and mold us and shape us so that we can be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I pray, Lord, that people would have receptive ears, ready hearts, a ready mind to listen to the Word of God, and to understand, not just immediately disregard something just because we don't agree with it in the flesh, but rather let us look at it with a spiritual mind and a spiritual thought process, and let's allow your Word to renew our mind tonight. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Now, realistically speaking, if you're going to love something, it means that you're going to hate something else. Okay? Let me give you some examples. If you love cleanliness, you're going to hate filth. You're going to hate dust. Right? If you love flowers, how many of you ladies love flowers? If you love flowers, you're going to hate the weeds. Why? Because the weeds are going to destroy the flowers. And so in order for you to enjoy the thing that you love, you have to get rid of the thing that you're supposed to hate. I have never known anybody who was a gardener that loved flowers that also loved the weeds. It doesn't make sense. It would be a paradox, a contradiction. It would be oxymoronic. Doesn't make sense. If you love freedom, you would then hate your freedom being taken away, or you would hate bondage. Right? We live in a country where we've expressed our freedoms. That's why most of us won't venture off to other countries, because they don't have the same freedoms we have. We get arrested for saying the things that come to our mind. We're here in America, you have a freedom of speech. That's not granted everywhere. There are people right now in the UK that are getting arrested for their social media posts. It's currently happening. Why? Because the UK doesn't have freedom of speech. It's run by a bunch of Muslims. It's the reality of it. If we love freedom, we're going to hate bondage. If we love that which is right, we then will hate that which is wrong. Let's go back to the Word of God. Look at verse 97 again. Oh, how love I thy law. Look at the end of verse number 104. Therefore, I hate every false way. Because I love the Word of God, it's going to cause me to hate things that are contrary to the Word of God. So if I'm going to live my life as a Christian according to this book, and the Word of God is our final authority, right? It is our absolute, our final authority in all of our faith and all of our practice. Not just in what we say that we believe, but what we practice that we believe. Okay? If the Word of God is our final authority, then we would then hate anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. If I'm going to love God's Word, I'm going to love the truth of the Word of God, then I'm going to hate the falseness of the world. I'm going to hate the lies that are constantly bombarding our lives. If I love the Word of God, I'm going to hate when people begin to attack the Word of God. We can make the statement here. If I love my church, I will then hate it when people speak ill of the church that I attend. Right? Because I take things personally. Men, if you love your wives, somebody speaks ill about your wife, they won't be talking much longer. Right? Because you hate it when somebody disregards or disrespects your spouse. And there's going to be judgment that comes from it. Because we get in the flesh real easily. Amen. You mess with family, and many times it's easy to get in the flesh. But because of your love, it causes you to hate the opposite. All right? Are we following along? Now, with this truth in mind, your love can be measured by your hate. That doesn't mean that we as Christians are defined by what we hate. All right? We're not Westboro Baptist Church, okay? Where we're defined by the things that we hate. No, no. We're an independent fundamental Baptist church that believe the Word of God. And we ought to be defined by the things that we love according to the Word of God. But because we love certain things, it's going to cause us to take a very strong stand against that which is wrong. It's going to cause us to hate that which is evil. We're not cultish by any way. But our love for good can be measured by our hatred for evil. That's a biblical statement. Go back to Psalms 97. We're going to spend some time laying a foundation because I want you to understand where we're coming from. And I want you to make sure that we understand the Word of God is going to be our final authority tonight. Not my words, not my opinions. And I'm not going to share with you my opinion unless I state that it's my opinion. We're going to share with you the Word of God tonight. And because of our love for God, it should cause us to hate evil. Psalms 97, look at verse number 10. Our love for good can be measured by our hatred for evil. Psalms 97, verse number 10. Ye that love the Lord, what's the command? Hate evil. That's a command. It's an imperative statement. Ye that love the Lord, that's addressing who we're talking to. All right? A phrase of direct address. What are we to do, those of us that love God? Hate evil. That's a command. Hate is an action word. Evil would then be the direct object. So that is a command that was made. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He that preserveth the soul of his saints, he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. You see, we don't have to worry about what the side effects for us hating evil and hating the wrong is, because God is going to deliver us as long as we're following true to the Word of God, as long as we're faithful in our love for God, because our love for good can be measured by our hatred towards evil. Go to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Your love for righteousness, then, should be measured by your hatred for sin. Your love for righteousness should be measured by your hatred for sin. Now, we've got the statement on our tracks, loving God and loving people. We want to love God, yes. We want to love people, yes. But when you love people, it does not mean that you love their sin. It does not mean that we love the state that they're in. Because we love them too much to leave them the way that they are. We want to share with them the love of God so that God can change them. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So my love for righteousness can then be measured by my hatred for sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, he lists quite a bit of stuff here, but let's break it down. The fear of the Lord is simply this. It's you being aware that God is right there with you. As a child, a child would be fearful of doing certain things if their parents were in the room. They would be fearful of doing wrong if the authority is right there. So they would have what you would call a healthy fear of their authority. The fear of the Lord then is us, in that same vein of thought, recognizing that no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, that God is right there beside us and He sees what's going on. And if we have that mentality, we understand that God is right there with every decision we make, it will have an effect on the decisions that we make. There's some things I dare say that if we really believed God was with us at that time, I dare say we probably wouldn't do those things. I dare say that if we really believed that the Holy Spirit of God lived inside of us and was with us when we're talking with some of our friends outside of church, certain things would not come out of our mouths. Here, the fear of the Lord is what? To hate evil. Because I know God is right there, I am going to have a hatred of evil. It doesn't say the fear of the Lord is to hate people, because people are not evil. Sin is evil. Wrongdoing is evil. Okay, so don't add words to your Bible just like you don't take words out of your Bible. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, that's something that we all struggle with. We all want our way. Why do you think husbands and wives fight? Because it's constantly trying to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Ephesians 5:21. Men, you submit to your wives' needs. Wives, you submit to your husband's lead. You let him lead the home. What was the statement that was made one of the sessions that you went to? Brother Patterson, he was talking about spiritual maturity as a man of God. He said, when we stand before God and give an account for our lives, men, you will not be asked why your wife said something. You will be asked about the decision that you made. You'll be judged not according to the advice that your wife gave you and whether or not you listened. You'll be judged according to the decision that you made as a man to lead your home. That's a great truth. What did Adam do? He blamed Eve. Guess what? At the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to answer for blaming. He's the one that made the choice. It's called personal responsibility. It's called ownership. Pride and arrogancy. Always thinking that you know best. Not listening to other people's advice. Getting out on a solo hill all by yourself. Being arrogant. And the evil way. So anything that would be evil, contrary to good. And the froward mouth. So even how we talk in a froward way, or a way that would be crooked, a way that would be perverse, a slant on the truth. That's what froward is. He said, these things do I hate. Why? Because I have the fear of the Lord. I recognize that God is right there with me. You see, today, people, all of us, we can be hypocritical in our lives by the things that we say that we love and the things that we actually don't hate. I wonder sometimes how true and how accurate lost people are when they say, I don't want to go to church. There's hypocrites that are there. Now, yeah, we can say there's hypocrites everywhere. But we need to take an assessment and say, am I being hypocritical? Am I living my life in such a way, saying that I love the Lord, but living my life contrary to that by accepting a lifestyle from the world and trying to merge that with Christianity? Or do I really love God? Because if you say that you love God, but you're trying to merge a worldly lifestyle into the way that God says to live, then you're going to be a hypocrite every time. Amen. We've got to make sure that we don't become hypocrites. Listen, we do not want to be the reason that somebody rejects Christ. Listen, again, don't play mind games. I understand. People ultimately have a responsibility, and they're going to stand before God one day and give an account of whether or not they rejected or accepted Jesus Christ. I understand that. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that we're going to see at the judgment seat of Christ, and even at the great white throne judgment, specifically when they're judged for their sin on not receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When the lost are judged at the great white throne, I think we're going to be able to see them, and there's people that we're going to have regrets of how we lived our lives as hypocrites, and we pushed them away from Jesus. We're going to give an account for that. Their blood's going to be on our hands. You see, tonight, all throughout, not just our church, but all throughout the world, many people like the idea of serving God, but they've not decided to serve God fully. Brother Fugit made a statement there in reference to President Trump. He had an opportunity on two different occasions to meet President Trump, and on one occasion he got to ride in the beast, that vehicle. He said, there's buttons everywhere. He found out there's a button that's right above his head. You hit that button and a mirror comes down so that you can fix your hair. That's exactly what President Trump needed in there. There's all these different buttons, all these different things. He said, but on the trip, I realized that God had me there for a specific reason. And began talking about all these different things. And he made a statement about the rapture. He said he was driving down the street in Louisville, Kentucky. He said, I've never driven down the street of Louisville, Kentucky and not been in a traffic jam. Well, we've been to Louisville, brother. We know. There's traffic jams everywhere. He said, you'd have thought that the rapture would happen. He used that as a segue and told Donald Trump, he said, but I know if the rapture happens, that I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ. President Trump, have you ever trusted Christ? He used it as a segue. Donald Trump looked at him and said, I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He had a testimony of salvation. He said, now I know he's born again. He's a child of God. Then Brother Fugit made a statement. He said, but it's very evident by the way he talks, he doesn't go to Sunday school. You're right. He doesn't. And there are those that, listen, they say they love God, but they live their lives contrary by their talk. By the things they say, by the things they do, by the places they go, by the people they hang around, by the way they dress. We're going to talk about all that. Many like the idea of serving God, but they've not decided to love God fully. Many people like the benefits even of serving God. Because the Bible says He daily loadeth us with benefits. There are benefits that God gives us for being a child of God. But they're on the fence between the world and on God. And they really don't love God with everything they have. We was in one of the teen sessions, Brother Ed Loney, he made the statement that, no, it wasn't Brother Ed, it was Brother Vosky, Patterson. He made the statement that even if you just apply the principles of the Word of God and you never go to church the rest of your life, you will get blessings from the principles because they're true. But you're not going to be holy or righteous or dedicated to God. You won't be right with God. Even the world today, in their money management and in their leadership potential, they get those truths from the Word of God because they're timeless truths. Many people believe in the principles of the Bible, but they don't really love God. And it shows because of what they don't hate. Because what you love will show what you hate. If you love God, you then will hate evil. Go back to Psalms 119, and we're going to get into the message now. Psalms 119, verse number 127. Psalms 119, verses 127. He says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts." Now all throughout Psalms 119, you're going to see different words that are given. You're going to see faithfulness, ordinances, laws, precepts, testimonies, commandments, judgments, words, statutes. These are all words that reference the Word of God. There are actually only two verses out of all 176 that don't mention any one of those words. We're not getting all that. But he says, concerning all things be right, and I hate every false way. So he says, I esteem, or I hold very highly your word. Now God says, his word he put above his name. Now the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. But his word is above that. Which means, if we're not following his word, then we're not right with God. We said we believe the Bible. Let's see how much we really believe the Bible. Skip down to verse number 133. This verse actually just popped out. It wasn't on my notes. The Lord wants to say it. Psalms 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word. That means my steps, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He says, order my steps where? In thy word. That means every decision I make, I've got it based into the word of God. I'm going to live my life according to the Word of God. Not according to man's opinions. Not according to popular opinion. But according to the Word of God. I tell the teenagers this and even the young people in the Christian school all the time. Listen, everybody's got opinions. Right? Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and most of them stink. Okay? But we act based on our opinions rather than based on the Word of God more times than not. Somebody asks you why you're doing something. You say, well, I think. Well, who cares what you think? What does the Bible say? Somebody asks you, why do you go to church on these times? Well, we just believe. Well, who cares what you believe? What does the Bible say? Okay? Listen, I'm not trying to be rude or mean or anything. The fact is, your opinion and my opinion about things does not always matter. The Word of God matters. And so when we begin to answer this world, they don't care what we think. But if we come to them with the Word of God and we say, well, God's Word says this over here in this passage. Let me show it to you. Then you can convince the naysayer and the atheist and those that are anti-God. You can convince them according to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what changes lives, not opinions. Okay? Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Some of you tonight, and I'm going to put myself in the same thing, some of us tonight, we are not walking according to God's word because we're allowing sin to rule our lives. We're allowing iniquity to have dominion, to have a stronghold, to have a foothold, to have control. We have got to make sure that we constantly are dying to self. What did Paul say? I die daily. Paul told the church at Galatia, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Why is it, listen, why is it we have a problem with what the man of God says when he's preaching the Word of God? Because we're operating in the flesh. Now, if we said we believe the Bible, and all of us did, okay? Then, when the Word of God is being preached, and if we've got Scripture for everything that's being said, then you shouldn't have a problem with what's being said. Correct? So, there's going to be some things said here. We're going to look at Scripture. What you love will determine what you hate in three main areas of your life. First off, in your allegiance. What you love will determine what you hate in your allegiance. Now, we use the word allegiance many a times when we pledge and only when we pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag, right? What are we saying when we say the word allegiance? That means that we are giving everything that we have to that. When you give your allegiance to your family in a marriage, a husband and a wife come together and they vow their allegiance to one another. They give themselves wholly over to one another. They make a commitment and they make a vow that they're going to stand together no matter what. And if you love the Word of God, then you're going to hate some things and it's going to determine your allegiance. It's going to determine your allegiance in these different areas. First off, your allegiance to the Scriptures. If you love the Word of God, then you're going to hate any other false Bible that is out there. Now, we believe according to the Word of God that the King James Bible is God's Word that's been preserved and inspired for the English-speaking people. We believe it. It's in the Bible. All throughout the Word of God, you're going to find the truths that the King James Bible proves itself over and over and over again. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Well, if God's Word is forever settled in heaven, then why are there over 300 different translations out here in America today? Just in the English language. And if you take the NIV, it's got 66,000 less words than the King James Bible. Things that are different are not the same. I've got a truck out there somewhere. My wife has a Pathfinder. They're not the same. My truck can pull my camper. The Pathfinder can't pull anything. Amen. We've got a church van. That's not the same thing as a church bus. Correct? Now, will they perform the same work? Yes. They'll get the job done. We'll run a van route through town. It's not a problem. We'll pick kids up and we'll pack them and stack them and get as many people to church as we can. But they're not the same thing. You have a truck and you have a little bitty car. Those two things are the same thing. All right? Things, listen, and again, it's nonsensical, but things that are different are not the same. If you ask a young person their favorite video game system, they're going to be split right down the middle on a PlayStation or an Xbox. And usually those that love PlayStations hate Xboxes. And those that love Xboxes hate PlayStations. You say, how do you know that? Because I love PlayStations and hate Xboxes. And my niece loves Xboxes and hates PlayStations. Because that's the way things are. They're not the same. The controllers feel different. They operate differently. You can do different things on them. They're different. Oh, it's just a video game. It's just the same. No, they're different. Listen, when somebody comes to you with the Word of God, they say, oh, your Bible's no different than mine. No, they're different. Ours is the Word of God. The Bible says that God has preserved it and God has kept it. If the Bible says in Psalm chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, that it's been purified seven times. If you take and you study the purification of the King James Bible was the seventh translation in English. And you go all throughout history and you'll find it's God's Word proves itself over and over and over again. And if you're going to love the Word of God, it's going to show in what you hate. You see, determining what you love, you'll also be able to determine what you hate in reference to your allegiance. First off, your allegiance to Scriptures. over in Galatians chapter 1. Turn with me if you will. Galatians chapter 1. Oh, we're going to hasten. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul tells the church of Galatia, I marvel, or I'm shocked, I'm amazed. Or we would say, I'm floored. I'm taken back. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, I'm shocked. I gave you the word of God. I discipled you personally. And now you've been removed unto another gospel. Why? Because things that are different are not the same. There's another gospel that is out there. There's another gospel that's going to teach you that it's not for by grace are you saved through faith. They're going to teach you that it's by works and works alone. It's not by what I've done, it's by what He did. See, if we could all get to heaven by the things that we've done, there would be no need for Calvary. There'd be no need. And by the way, just like you're saved by His finished work on Calvary, we're still kept by His finished work. We're not kept by works either. We're saved by grace, we're kept by grace. We're secured by grace. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or twist or change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. We're not going to preach another gospel from this pulpit. It's going to be the same gospel that's always been preached. We're not preaching any different doctrines. The Bible says, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. We're not changing anything. We're not amending anything. We're not adjusting anything. We're not adapting the Bible to society. No, no, we're not changing a thing. We're following the doctrines of the Word of God. And because we love the Word of God, it's going to show in our allegiance to Scriptures, and it's going to cause us to hate false Bibles that are out there. It's going to show in our allegiance to the Savior. Here, we can look at it again. I got another verse, but we don't have time to go to it. He says that you being called, verse number 6, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Here, in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if somebody's going to preach to you another gospel or another Christ, let him be accursed. And if we love the Word of God like we say we do, it's going to show in our allegiance to the Savior. It's going to show in our allegiance to Jesus Christ. It's going to bother us when people begin to say that He was just a prophet and He's not the Son of God. Listen, my God is the Son of God. We believe in a triune being. The Bible tells us there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Down in John chapter 1, verse number 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt means tabernacled. He says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when somebody begins to speak ill about your Savior, it ought to rub you the wrong way. It ought to cause the hairs on the back of your neck to stand up. Them there ought to be fighting words. Because my Savior died on a cross for me. And I'm not going to let anybody else speak ill of the one who saved me and gave His life for me. So our love for God is going to show in our allegiance to the Scriptures. It's going to show in our allegiance to the Savior. Also, down in Proverbs chapter 6, it's going to show in our allegiance to that which is sacred. In our allegiance to that which is sacred. Go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. Proverbs 6:16. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. You say, God doesn't hate anything. It's not what your Bible says. It's not what your Bible says. God does hate some things. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. That means they get Him stirred up. He gets ticked off on this. A proud look. Is that not what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? A lying tongue. Is that not what Adam and Eve did in the garden? They lied and told, blamed it on everybody else. And hands that shed innocent blood. Is that not what Cain did when he killed Abel and got banished from the family and put a mark upon him? Listen, we can go through each one of these and I can give you biblical illustration after biblical illustration. But notice, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, or among brethren. If we're going to love like we say that we do when it comes to the Word of God, it's going to show in our allegiance to the sacred. Meaning, let me just look at a couple of these. Heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We're not going to listen to those who are constantly trying to pervert things around us. A heart that's devising wicked imaginations. Why did God destroy the world in Noah's day? Because of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Their thoughts, their imagination, what were they? They were evil. They were wicked. If you look at feet that be swift in running to mischief. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? He said, Daddy, give me that which is mine. And what did he do? He went and wasted every bit of it. All that money was burning a hole in his pocket. He was ready to spend it all. We got a lot of young people that are buying time right now waiting to run into mischief because we don't love what we should. Here, a false witness that speaketh lies. How much gossip do you listen to? How much gossip do you listen to? Notice, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Do you let people talk ill about the man of God here? Do you let people talk ill about your fellow church members? Do you let people talk bad about your Sunday school teacher? You let people talk bad about those that you go to church with, other people that are godly and Christians? He that soweth discord among the brethren. God says he hates that. It's going to show in our allegiance. If we love the Word of God, we're going to hate evil. Also, it's going to show in our allegiance not just to the Scriptures, not just to the Savior, not just to the sacred, but also to the services of the house of God. God says in Hebrews 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we know we live in the last days. We know the days are approaching. We ought to be more committed to being faithful to the house of God now than ever before. If we love the Word of God. Again, I told you I'm giving you Bible tonight. If you don't like it, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. He's the one that wrote it. Amen. What you love will determine what you hate in your allegiance. Secondly, it'll determine what you hate in your actions and your attitude. Because what you love is going to cause you not to do certain things. It's going to cause you not to have certain attitudes. Attitudes many a times come from the music that we listen to. Amen. Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to hasten through these last few. We're running out of time. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, so at last at the end here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or morals, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What kind of music are you putting into your mind? You can't tell me that rap music has things that are honest and true and pure and lovely and of good report. Or virtue at all. You can't tell me that rock and roll has those things. You can't tell me that your country music has those things. And you can't tell me that your so-called Christian music that sounds just like the world has those things. Oh, but it's the words. No, no, no. It's the music. You can't take the world's beat and put God's words to it and think that it's okay. Amen. You can't. It's impossible. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. It's not going to beautify your bacon. Amen. It's not. It's still a pig. And you can put God's words and you can put the name Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Now, it's still a country song. Yeah. Amen. You can put the name Jesus in it, and just because they got drums and electric guitar and an 8-minute solo in there doesn't make it righteous and godly. If I love good thoughts, I'll hate wrong thoughts. You see, many of us, we hate the idea of something, but we don't actually hate it. I'll say it again. Many of us, we hate the idea of something, but we don't actually hate it. It's going to show in your actions and your attitude, in reference to the music that you listen to. Next, in reference to your modesty. That'd be the clothes that we wear or don't wear. We live in a very immodest world, in case you haven't noticed. Summertime's coming, and guess what? People are going to start taking their clothes off. Why? Because it's a contest to see who can wear the least amount of clothes and still get by with it. I don't know why they take their clothes off, other than they're wicked sinners. Amen. The Bible says that we've made a covenant with our eyes, we'll not look upon a maid. Men, we've got to protect ourselves now more than ever before. But it's going to show in your actions and your attitude towards modesty. You see, if you love purity, you'll hate promiscuity. If you love purity, you'll hate promiscuity. If you love your wife, men, you will hate other women trying to draw your attention away from your wife by the clothes that they're wearing or by what they're not wearing and what they're exposing. Amen. You see, many hate the idea of something, but they don't actually hate it. I'll give you an illustration. Many hate the idea of boys wearing skirts, and they say it's cross-dressing. But they don't hate the idea of women wearing pants. Amen. I'm not mad at anybody. We're just looking at the Bible tonight. The Bible still says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, that it's a shame for a man to wear that which pertains to a woman and for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. Now, we all said we believe the Bible. So if we believe the Bible, then we need to act like we believe the Bible. It'll show in our actions and in our attitudes. In reference to our music, in reference to our modesty, but also in reference to our marriage. You see, I love my wife. I'm not going to pursue after any other woman. Amen. Ain't going to happen. Why? Because I love my wife. Do I hate everybody else? No. But they start coming between me and my wife? Yeah, I'm going to hate them. Amen. Because I love my wife. There's an allegiance that was given, but also there's actions and an attitude that follows. You see, it's amazing to me that people will commit to a standard or a belief at church, but they won't do it anywhere else. You know why? Because they don't really believe it. They don't really believe it. Because we love the idea, but we don't love the practice. It sounds good, but we don't want to do it. Now listen again, I love you. I'm trying to help you with the Word of God tonight. Your love will determine what you hate in your allegiance, in your action and attitude, and thirdly, lastly, in your associations. This regards the people that you are around, that's friends and family. This regards the places that you go to, where you go, what you participate in, and this is also in regards to what takes priority in your life. The Bible says in Colossians 1, verse number 16, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. That's first place. So anytime that we do something, anytime that we go somewhere, anytime that we're with somebody, we need to ask ourselves, would God approve? Would God approve? Does God get glory out of this? Does He get glory out of this allegiance? Does He get glory out of this action? Does He get glory out of this attitude? Some of you have an attitude about what was been said. It's not my opinion. It's the Bible. Does God get glory out of that? Does God get glory from your associations? You see, what do you really love? It's always measured by what you really hate. You can say you love God all day long, but if you continue to live a life of sin, then do you really love God? I'm going to close with this statement. What we believe, we put into practice. Everything else is just religious talk. What we believe, we put into practice. You say, if we really believe it, we're going to do it. Everything else is just religious talk. It's doing enough to skate by. I'm going to do this while I'm here so the preacher doesn't say something. It's just religious talk. You don't have me to fear. You have God to fear. I'm not going to follow you around. I've got more things to do. I've got a schedule. I've got things I need to get done. I'm not going to follow you around and make sure that you're following the Word of God. But those of you here specifically in Cornerstone Baptist Church that are in a leadership position, if you're living a hypocritical lifestyle outside these walls, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. God's going to have the final say. And don't get mad at me when it happens. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. What we really believe, we put into practice. Everything else is just religious talk. Again,